Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Further Research Needed, the podcast with straightforward questions and not so straightforward answers, particularly today. As always, I'm joined by my lovely co-hosts.
Hey, I'm Hannes Feirer.
Hey, I'm Christopher Wood.
And before I give away the title of the episode, I would like to ask you like a very simple question to start with while we open our beers. Or equivalent drinks. Why are we here?
I don't know, what? You caught me.
On what on what scale?
I mean, not in this podcast, but I mean, we as beings, what do you guys think we are here?
I think you have two answers to that question.
Okay.
One is because evolution led to a point where humans are what they are, and I'm one of them sitting here. And the other point is because of gravity, because otherwise it would be floating around.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about you, Chris?
It's the gradual entropic unwinding of the heat death of the universe. And we're just sort of chaotic fluctuations in the randomness reasserting itself after the Big Bang.
Okay, I really like both of these answers, which...
I think no one ever made me feel more meaningless. Thank you, Chris.
Wow. Oh, no, but you're super, super meaningful. I wasn't saying meaningful specifically about you, Hannes, about me. Everything spins around you. That's important.
Of course, if I made everyone feel meaningless, that's the goal of our podcast. Welcome.
Wow. So glad we have such a high listenership.
Well, I just... bumming out people left, right, and center. But I'm actually quite happy with your answers, pretty similar to what I would have come up with, though more eloquent than probably what I would have said. So the question that I want to get at today, does morality come from evolution? And it's a bit of a complicated question. Ooh. So the reason why I was thinking about this for the last couple of weeks is basically this example that I heard in a podcast called Ladies We Need to Talk. Shout out to them. Excellent podcast. And what they were talking about, among other things, was basically that certain people do not want to get children, and that there's this argument that they actually have to or should, because basically evolution dictates them to have children. And on the surface that sounds kind of stupid, but just from my own experience, I think there's definitely something to it.
From your experience as a man?
From my experience of that there's a certain social pressure on everybody to have children. I don't know
Can I quickly say what maybe now everyone is thinking? If you have listened to the trailer of this new season, so then you know Chris and I have not been prepared for this. So maybe you're thinking the same thing as I am now. Is it going to be one of these situations where three people without uteri, talk about what people with uteruses should be doing or not? I don't think that's going to be one of these situations. Is that correct, Philip?
I don't think so either, because like us becoming parents is, I think at least in this context, it doesn't really matter if you're man or woman or
okay,
gender neutral or whatever. I don't think it matters. Like, just as the question is, you as a person, should you put children in this world? Because evolutionarily speaking, that's your purpose to be here. And that was one of the answers you gave, Hannes, right? Like, the reason we are here is evolution. So don't we owe it to evolution to some degree to like give it back and bring the next generation of beings into this world?
I think that's quite an interesting, you've already exposed the two questions that your one question contained there. How did we get here? Or maybe you can say, why did we get here? But then what should we do now that we're here? Is they're two separate questions in that sort of morality thing. Like I can believe in the theory of evolution as to the reason why I, as a multicellular being, am able to interact with the world in the way I can, and that came from single cells and small oligomerizing molecules. But that shouldn't inform the way I continue to be after that, because we've kind of broken through a lot of our, I suppose you might call it nature. I'm not sure how you would define that. Our programming, let's say. Mm-hmm. I as a person, am no longer subject to a lot of the previous natural selection pressures that I once were, that might say my ancestors once were. So therefore, we can't say that I have to be informed going forward about what I do because of those natural selection pressures.
Mm. I agree, and I would like to jump in here and say that what you said, Philip, initially was that evolution dictates, and because we came about from a process of evolution, we should also act to perpetuate that process. But this isn't really how evolution works, right? Evolution isn't some kind of voice telling us what we should do, but it selects for a certain behavior or other phenotypical traits that then perpetuate reprocreation and so on. So it's not really like we should act in a way to reprocreate, but if there is the right pressure or the right behavior in place, then we will reprocreate. And this is then some kind of evolutionary outcome, but it's not like we should consciously try to act upon it or try to act accordingly to how we think evolution works.
Can I jump in here? Because I think it's almost what you said, but I really like the idea is that me not wanting to have kids is just as evolutionarily feasible as me wanting to have kids, because my genetic makeup may be unsuitable for the existence that is at the moment. So evolution is still happening when I choose not to have kids, or I can't have kids, because that's how evolution works. Parts of the genetic pool cannot reproduce. So it's not fair to say you have to have kids for evolution. Evolution doesn't give a shit if you don't have kids. In fact, that's part of the system. Like, you know, that's a great...
Yeah,
and whatever and I do, here, it's part of evolution. It doesn't matter. It's a completely amoral system of existence.
I would absolutely subscribe to that. And since we're here, I would like to debunk one thing that you said earlier, Philip, is that what you said was something like, that's our purpose as living beings, which are subjected to evolution. And I do not think this is absolutely necessarily true. It's also... individuals that do not produce offspring themselves can impact the survivability, the survival of offspring of other species, individuals of the same species. I think that's in relation to humans, that's the grandmother hypothesis, why women stay alive for another, depending on the
5 to 10 years
or something, era you live in. Well, now it's more 30, 40 years after they become infertile.
Sorry, I thought you were going somewhere else with that.
Okay.
I thought you were going at the age difference between men and women.
But okay. Oh, no. I guess the argument here, just to lay it out again, is why would women become infertile in their 40s? And evolutionarily, why would they remain alive after that, because most females in other species don't? And the answer to that, one answer is the grandmother hypothesis, which states something like grandmothers have increased the survivability, is that the right word? The likelihood of survival for their grandchildren, and therefore provide an evolutionary advantage. So I do not think that only individuals who produce offspring contribute to selection.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And you said a lot of interesting things. So I'll try to circle back to some things. I feel like, to put some words in your mouth, Chris, that evolution doesn't necessarily impact you that much anymore. We as a species have sort of broken free to at least some of the constraints. And I think I would quite strongly disagree with that sentiment for a reason that you guys gave yourself, is that I think of evolution more of a force like gravity or something that applies all the time. It's amoral for sure. It's just happening. It's like a thing in the background, and it applies to all of us at the same time in the same way. And it never changes, similar to gravity, as far as we know. So in that sense, I feel like we're definitely still under the same, not under the same evolutionary pressures, but definitely under the same force. It just shapes us differently at the moment.
Yeah, I think the pressures change and the selection patterns change compared to how they might have been active for the last 200,000 years on basically the same species that we're still. And now through technological advances and so on, these pressures changed, but I think they're still there, of course.
Yeah, exactly. And to like maybe zoom out a bit more, just out of curiosity, I would say, do you feel there's some pressure for you to get children? Like maybe from parents or from people in your surroundings or friends, or I don't know. Or do you feel completely kind of like left out of that pressure?
Jen and I were talking about this before, and there's been a rash of articles saying millennials are not having enough kids, the birth rate has dropped between below two per couple, which is what's necessary for well, it's actually 2.1 or something. It's necessary for continuation of the population as it is. And these articles written by economists being like, we need to up the birth rate. Countries like Russia and all these, and Japan and all these things are having terrible things. So there is this very weird push coming from people being like, oh, we must have more kids. The whole societies need to have more kids. And like, I think it's easy to step away from that. But there's definitely another, the more social pressure of like, yeah, your parents or your grandparents being, I can't wait for you to have a child. I could, you know, all these sorts of tropes that go on.
Sorry. Did you want to continue or?
No, go for it. Go, sorry.
No, yeah, thanks. I do think that we as men do experience a whole different, or we do have a different experience on that than women do. Like, while at least I do hear things like, oh, it would be nice if there would be kids someday or something, but it's been very different for young women in my environment, where it was way clearer. It's like, when are you going to have them? When are you going to have kids? It must be. And for us, it is seems much more voluntary. So I don't think that of course, we weren't claiming that we're a representative set here.
No, not at all.
But of course, there is some kind of social pressure to have kids, and it might be a bit selfish sometimes. I don't think anyone would raise the evolutionary arguments like, "Will you contribute to the continuation of the human race?" It's more like, "Will you give me small, cute humans to cuddle?" That's, I think, more the sentiment.
Maybe to some degree, but I think it changes a lot if you come out and say, I will never have children, and that is my choice. I think in that moment, the argument sort of changes from like a cultural argument or like a, oh, I would like to have children argument to, well, what the fuck are you doing? You're supposed to have children. This is
okay. That's not default. what I've seen, but maybe you have seen it, so that's legit.
And I mean, I'm like really grappling with this, and that's why this is a very selfish episode for me, because I'm just like bouncing stuff off your heads and seeing what sticks and trying to get your input. But I have this idea of that it used to be that kind of like religion was this thing where the pressure was coming from to procreate. Like, you need to get married and then you need to have children and as many as possible, kind of like a theological argument. And I have this impression that this argument might change now that religion has less of an impact on us as a whole society or individuals, that the argument kind of like slowly being replaced by sort of like the new thing, which is evolution and science. But if you guys don't have that impression, then maybe it's just me.
I'm not sure. I've seen it differently. I've heard it more on an economic case rather than an evolutionary case, that people should have kids because we need to maintain society at the levels that it's at. I've also heard it the other way around in terms of global warming, that we shouldn't have kids to save the planet, and that's the most selfish thing you can ever do. And I've seen arguments about, on a more, maybe not a humanist, but I don't know which philosophy it would be, but how the idea that you would bring a conscious being into the world without asking its permission is like grossly immoral. Because how can you do that to someone and bring them into a world of pain and suffering? Particularly that links into the global warming idea that we would bring conscious life into a world that is now declining.
I think there was even a lawsuit where a son sued his parents for bringing him into the world without his permission. Yeah. I can't remember if he won or not, but it's definitely a sign of the times if this is something that's going on.
Yeah. So I think I haven't heard so much the moral argument evolutionarily, but I have seen it argued that maybe in a similar way that by perpetuating ourselves, we fulfill our function. And therefore, less on the having of a child, but actually like, what are you doing with your life? Like, have you really lived if you haven't had a child? Like, you haven't fulfilled your function.
No,
I see the line of argument there, but I think the first thing that you said when you started your sentence now, Chris, was something, I wish I could just go back now and re-listen, but it doesn't matter. You said something like the moral part of the evolutionary argument is something like that. And this connection, I think that's something that Philip mentioned earlier before, and I don't see how these things are connected, how morality is at all connected to evolution. And if you were to say that, I think that's fallacious.
I completely agree.
Yeah. Sorry, that's what?
Didn't you just say that? Like that morality is in some way linked to evolution. That is it a moral argument to say you should have children to continue the human species? To me, that's not a moral argument. I don't see the morality in there.
No, I agree. I personally don't see that, but that's the argument system they're using. Sorry, just using it as a nomenclature term, the moral.
Right. I guess you could argue from a biodiversity perspective that otherwise the human race would die out. But on the other hand, I guess biodiversity would increase if the human race were to die out. So maybe it doesn't really hold up.
Yeah, that's a very.
But again, I'm not sure I'm going to use biodiversity as my moral code.
No, what is your moral code, Chris?
Oh wow! Okay,
yeah, sure.
Getting that from bomb. One death to the next.
I mean,
okay,
this
put it
is
differently. Let's go back and ask if we want to stick with the decision of having kids and whether how this is motivated. Do you guys think that every motivation to have kids is ultimately selfish? Can you find a motivation to have kids that is not somehow also selfish?
I honestly cannot imagine a single reason why it would not be selfish.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a decision made by someone on something that has no say in the matter. So it is, by some definitions of selfishness, it is.
If you go back maybe even 100 or 200 years, maybe not even that far, then children were some kind of insurance for you when you're old, because they would take care of you and be some kind of investment in the future. And I think that was a very real thing. I think that's what's contributed to people having a lot of kids. Maybe religion was also part of that, but you could easily argue that since kids were some kind of insurance for the future, some kind of investment to have, that this would then find itself also in any system that constructs a society like a religion. So I think this could also be a reason for why religions, or let's say specifically Christianity, has such a strong focus on conventional marriage and kids. Like this could have been rooted in some kind of social security system.
I think for religions, it's even like there's another level to it in the sense that a religion that has rules in place to ensure that people get the most amount of people will be more successful than a religion that does not. Because a religion, you want to maximize the amount of people in your religion, right?
Oh my God, this is amazing. And so I've heard this termed mind virus, so that religions are a propagating idea that is out there just to self-propagate. And so religions that increase the population, it's exactly what Philip said, that they are the ones that survive and can fight off death cult religions, because death cult religions are naturally going to die out at some point.
Yeah, I guess that's some kind of evolutionary argument for religions.
This is amazing. I can't believe we got onto mind viruses already. This is so good.
I always thought it's called a meme, that it's like an idea that spreads.
Yeah, I think a meme is a social idea.
Memes have been co-opted by the internet, but the original,
The OG meme.
It's like a social gene in a way, right?
That's where it came from. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but like we kind of, as always, went off track, and let's go back to the other thing where I went off track. I was saying that kids can be some kind of insurance for when you're old, for yourself.
Yeah, so I guess that
was definitely very selfish at the time. In every way. But of course, I mean, not to judge people who had a lot of kids to take care of them when they're old, but I think it was a more or less a selfish motivation. And now this isn't really necessary anymore to the same extent, right? So you might ask the question why people are still having kids if it's not necessary, just to make them feel better, to give love, but is the need to give love also selfish in itself? Or is that then a more an altruistic thing? Is that obvious to you?
Do you see it now that kids are more like pets, that they're something you create to look after because you need something to look after and cuddle?
I'm being a bit the devil's avocado here. That's not really my point, but I'm just putting things out there and see what sticks.
But I mean, you're being the devil's advocate here, but I think that's actually a very valid point. Why a substantial amount of people get kids? I don't think they conceptualize it in a way, but that kind of feeling of wanting to love someone and having someone that's dependent on you and can't really like run away
from
their choice.
Wow.
I think that's a really important reason. And then the other selfish reason is sort of, let's say, evolutionary. If you get children, that's the only way to gain immortality in a certain sense of the word.
It's the selfish gene argument.
Yeah. And I mean, we can talk about it. And that's sort of like the argument is sort of pretty shaky if you think about it more closely. But in fact, all of us alive at the moment are direct descendants of the first organism, of the first thing that started replicating. We are direct descendants of that. So this thing has never died in a sense. It has just transformed its phenotype.
Well, technically, there might have been another thing that just didn't make it until today.
Yeah, but we are not. Oh, you mean there? Oh, okay. Technically, you're right. Technically, there could have been another living thing that where the lineage
like,
died.
That would be the death cult equivalent to.
Yeah,
the thing that died out.
Well, whoever is our very first ancestor, all of us living, I mean, I guess I can't prove that, but I think it's very likely that all of us come from the same system that started replicating at some point. So if you want to be part of that, like obviously I am going to die, which is a very hard and unfortunate truth, but if I get a kid, at least part of me survives and just reincarnates in a different form.
Yeah, it's the argument that we are vessels for our genes to stay in existence, that our genes are selfish and want us make more of them, and we are kind of merely the vessels that get them to be recreated in a new organism. Why are you confused?
I'm not confused. I'm just amazed that Chris just got a wine hand delivered. And I'm wondering why there's like an inequality between podcast hosts of alcohol deliveries while recording.
I missed that. I stared the distance in my speech. I didn't watch the screen. I'm sorry. It's also very dark back there. Say hi to Jen.
I will say hi to Jen. But so, Hannes, I agree with both of you in that we are descendants from this and we are possibly vessels for these genes, but why should we construct our moral system upon this idea?
I don't think we should. I don't think we do. And if I can just follow up on what I said before, I don't think we are doing this in any conscious way, but exactly these genes that drive us and kind of use us as vessels, they put things in place like oxytocin release if we like have something to love, which will make us feel good about it, so we keep doing it. Like, I think that's exactly, that would be one of these mechanisms. And just before I go, like before this sounds too shaky, the idea of the selfish gene comes from the book of Richard Dawkins, The Selfish Gene. And there's a much more elaborate discussion of these genes. So I think now we're not really faithful to the facts presented in this book. There's a large discussion also on selfishness compared to altruism and how altruism can also be some feature that can be used by evolution to procreate, and how this is in conflict with selfishness of genes in a way. So just to kind of not present this as the whole story, there's a lot more to that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there's also been a couple of counter arguments to his sort of thesis. Absolutely. And I'm not super familiar, but I think what I found today was basically that they said our genes are not us. Like, even if it's true that the selfish gene hypothesis is true, I don't think the, let's say, direct consequence from that should be that there's any kind of morality or guiding principle from that, because we are kind of like the product of our genes, but we are not our genes. Like, unless we figure out cloning, like whatever offspring we're gonna have is like a crazy mixture of like some genes and some other genes and maybe mutations and whatever, like all of these rules that might apply to the selfish gene and make a lot of sense on genome level don't make a lot of sense for us as conscious beings.
No, I do agree.
In a sense of as in that we should create moral systems that operate, that mean that the society as a whole continues to operate rather than individuals within the society. Because, you know, the human race could kill itself off by being super selfish. And therefore I mean, this is the argument in Dawkins' book, is that altruism exists because the gene pool as a whole survives, not the single gene in the single vessel.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Can I, I don't know, this is somewhat, the elephant in the room with this kind of using using evolution or using evolutionary principles to guide human or societal level things like morality is eugenics, mm-hmm. which is a real problem. Because this has been talked about before, about they didn't make it a moral driver to continue evolution, but they set it as that they should improve society by kind of employing the principles of evolution to guide society towards a certain goal. But they never really defined why, what was better about the ones they chose, but they had decided these were the better ones that they wanted. Mm. And this is, I think, the problem with using what are essentially abstract scientific concepts to guide human morality or human justice or any of these sorts of systems, is that the systems that are created they're excused by being natural law. They're like, oh, of course it's evolution. You have to go ahead with it because it exists. It's like gravity. You can't stop evolution. But that's no argument in the way you would create a moral code at all. So it's a bit difficult to see how you can draw that parallel.
I really agree with that. And I think that's why it also made me so angry when I listened to that podcast, which started this whole discussion today. Kind of that people are taking scientific concepts like evolution, and then they have their own preconceived ideas and notions, and they use the scientific theory to validate them and kind of give them a veneer of being an absolute truth. Because to kind of like spin on your example, Chris, basically, if you would apply the same thing to gravity, all of us would have to jump out of a window and like go to the, like follow the gravity, right? Like we should not resist gravity. Everybody open the window and jump out.
Planes are sacrilege.
And if you put it in these terms, it's stupid. But if you say, well, evolution created you and therefore you have to like get children, or you say, well, evolution says survival of the strongest, actually it says fittest, but people love to say strongest, then, well, the like person that's a bully is like that's the right way to go about it, because they believe for whatever reason that that's the way to go and they like that, and then they just say, well, Darwin said it, or like whatever evolution.
Yeah, the argument is backwards.
Yeah, exactly. They start with their assumption and then they use evolution to.
Yeah, I do completely agree. I think this evolutionary argument is often applied in some kind of post hoc way to rationalize whatever behavior and finding some kind of reason how it might be evolutionary beneficial to be this way or to act this way or to have a certain trait, and therefore it must be true or the right way or whatsoever. And I think this is just not how evolution, and well, that's especially not how science, a scientific argument works.
It's very true. How about some final statements for this episode, Chris? Any thoughts?
I think it's very dangerous to build your moral code on any scientific principle. I think we as a society need to be more, it's kind of what Hannah says a lot about philosophy in science. We need to have an open discussion about how we come to the rules by which we want to live by. As religion wanes, we probably want to have a discussion about the way we build our morals. Should scientific principles inform that debate? I'm not even sure. I think we need to collectively choose it as groups of individuals, rather than be like, this is the natural law by which we should follow. Because by that point, it becomes a religion again. And that's what we're trying to get away from.
Hannes, you look like you're still thinking.
Yeah, I'm in deep thought. I tried to construct the final statement myself, but then Chris said so many things that are to think about more. But let's try to wrap this up anyway, yes. Can you ask me a question? I didn't even know what to say at this point. Like, the episode went in so many directions. Please ask me something.
I mean, my question was just what the final statement is. If your final statement is all over the place, then I guess
Then let me say this. I was very surprised by the way the argument went on why people should have kids. But this being an evolutionary-based moral argument, and I do think, just as Chris said, I think this is completely wrong way to approach morality. I do think scientific facts can inform morality, the way we should live, for example, but I don't think we can base it on that, and making such cheap evolutionary arguments is definitely fallacious and is often used wrongly from a logical sense, but also from a moral sense. So I am happy you brought this up, because the discussion of ethics and the connection to science is something that scientists do not talk a lot about, but pretend ethics is kind of a clear-cut thing. So thank you for bringing this up.
Well, thank you very much for indulging me in my selfish question today. I think my final statement would be my shower thought from today, which was that for a really long time in evolutionary, humanity's history, the question, why are we here, informed what am I supposed to do now? So I think that has been like a very strong pattern. And I see myself slipping back into these kinds of thoughts. And our discussion today sort of kind of finalized that thought that it doesn't really make a difference. Like I feel like I have a good grip or idea of why I'm here, evolutionarily speaking, but it really doesn't tell me anything about what I'm supposed to do, which is terrifying and very exciting at the same time, I would say. So yeah, what a privilege to live in at a time where you can formulate these thoughts and have all these open directions of where humanity can go to and what kind of answers we can find to these questions. And with that, thank you for listening and see you guys in 2 weeks.